Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive.
Because here's the thing, learning is not a spectator sport. Learning is not a spectator sport any more than lovemaking is, right?
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. The brain is the largest and most important sex organ. That's where all the magic happens, between our ears. On today's Best Of, I'm joined by author of Limitless and one of the world's experts on optimal brain performance, Jim Quick. We talk about how to sharpen and focus your memory, no more forgetting your anniversary, specific tips to activate a healthy brain, and the best foods to give your brain a boost. What I love about this episode is you're going to be able to follow along as we walk through very specific, impactful, and easy-to-learn exercises you can use right away. I learned so much in this episode, I still use the exercises. Because listen, a big, healthy brain is always sexy. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. What do you want to learn from this episode? My intention for this episode was to have the world expert on to help you get your brain on board for sex. Because when your brain's on board, your body will follow. It's true. Listen, I'm doing a virtual live show on April 15th, 2021. So just in a few days. It's at 6 o'clock Pacific. And you are all invited. It's going to be so fun. We'll all be together there. I'm going to be giving you giveaways from my personal sex toy closet. You can ask me questions live and we can all interact. Can't wait to see your faces. We're going to do polls and questions. It's going to be super fun. I love this platform at Looped Live. It's $10 to view the live podcast experience, or you can pay $100 and get a live one-on-one meet and greet with me. Find more information, go to loopedlive.com, looped live.com. Just go to upcoming experiences and scroll down and get your ticket. It's in 2 days. I'll see you there. And remember, I get so many emails from you. You can always send me an email to feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. Include your name, your gender identity, your location, age, how you listen to the show so I can best answer your question. All right, enjoy the show. Jim Quick, yes, that's his real name, K-W-I-K. He's the founder of Quick Learning and a widely recognized world expert in speed reading, memory improvement, brain performance, and accelerated learning. After a childhood brain injury left him learning challenged, Quick created strategies to dramatically enhance his mental performance. And he's also dedicated his life to help others unleash their true genius and brain power to learn anything faster and live a life of greater power, prosperity, productivity, and peace of mind. And I promise, a better brain is also going to help with your sex life and your relationships. Find more about Jim. Go to jimquick.com, K-W-I-K, or Jim Quick on all social media. And his podcast is Quick Brain Podcast. Hey, Jim. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. This is a real treat. Thank you, everyone who's listening.
Yeah. And I want just a little bit about your background, about how you became the Jim Quick master that you are.
I was bitten by a radioactive elephant, and I have this incredible memory now. But yeah, when it comes to relationships, I believe two of the most costly words are I forgot. You know what I mean? I forgot to do it. I forgot to bring it. I forgot that conversation. I forgot that person's name.
All those I forgot we things. Had plans. I made other plans.
Exactly.
That thing, they show up, you're not there. The
yeah,
whole thing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you text your significant other saying, hey, take the food out of the fridge or the freezer. And then they say, yes, of course. And then you come back and nothing was done. Or, you know, you go on a, you know, they forget to do things. They forget to turn off the oven. They forget where they put their keys or if not their keys, something larger like their car. You see the people in the parking lot and you wonder. But I believe memory lapses, they hurt relationships, personal and professional. And so I like to fix people's forgetfulness. I like to help people to focus in a world full of distraction. And I think it helps with their productivity, their performance, and their peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like your mind is everywhere nowadays. You know, we're driven to distraction. And what do people do? How do they get things done in a world full of app notifications, social media alerts, and all these things?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so the fact that you are able to work with people, and what I was hoping, you know, like I've said, I always joke, because we hang out, we're friends. I'm like, you help everyone. Can't you, you know, I'd love to know how to do this, because I feel that I, for so long, I was never able to, I don't know, I can't even focus up. And I think that ADD or whatever you want to call it is sort of a gift, right? There are a lot of creative minds and we operate differently in the world, but it's really not, it's been a challenge. Like I just assume things about myself. For example, like I can't read, I can't get through this entire book on time. I can't make appointments. I lose my car and my phone and my keys on a daily basis. And I've studied organization and systems mm-hmm. and like have a hook for the keys, you know? So I've tried, and I think a lot of people have tried, they buy the bins and they buy the things to help them get organized. But I think the way that you come at it is very interesting, because also I have also come to believe that this is just how I am and there's nothing you can do about it. I think a lot of people think, well, I just don't remember. We make assumptions that because we've been doing things this way and our brain works this way, this is how we are.
We're wrong about that, so that's good. So what I would say is when people see me on stage, they'll see me memorize, like I'll have 100 people stand up and I'll memorize all their names. Or they'll give me 100, you know, digit number or 100 words and I'll memorize them forwards and backwards. But I always tell people afterwards that I don't do this to impress you. I do this to express to you what's really possible. Because the truth is, every single person listening to this right now could also do that and a lot more. It's just we weren't taught. If anything, I think we were taught a lie that somehow our intelligence, our potential, our abilities somehow fix like our shoe size. And mm-hmm. it's absolutely not true. You know, we've discovered more about the human brain. And, you know, when we're talking about relationships, you know, I feel like that, you know, we are in the millennium of the mind. When people are dating people, it's, you know, it's important. You want to be with somebody, you know, who has more to offer than just, you know, maybe looks or, you know, mm-hmm. something substantial, like, right. Well, you know, you don't have to have deep conversations with somebody, right? Because you want to stimulate, you know, different parts of their body, but you definitely want to stimulate someone's brain.
Right, exactly.
And so, but the challenge is, you know, we've discovered so much about the human brain and we're grossly underestimating our own capabilities. So, really what this conversation is about, it's about transcending. It's about ending the trance that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough.
So right. Everybody stopping the negative self-talk, I guess.
And we could talk about that because everybody here, what we go through, I would love to do this actually with you because we've always talked about this, is rolling up our sleeves and let's get into it. You know, fixing forgetfulness and memory lapses and focus issues, all the things that could hurt your business, but certainly also your life. I think everybody could relate to this thing where they feel absent-minded, like senior moments are coming too early, mm-hmm. or they need to remember people. Like they meet somebody and then seconds later, the handshake breaks and then the name just disappears. Or they have a fear of public speaking. You and I have shared the stage a number of times, but people get forgetful because they have to give a toast at a wedding or maybe a sales presentation at work. And they feel like they're going to get nervous and they're going to not remember the things that they need to remember. Okay, so let's jump into the mechanics. How do you do these things? How do you learn faster? How do you read faster? How do you remember more, right? And so the goal is to be the best version of ourselves, and it starts with our mind, because our mind controls everything, right? Our brain controls our relationships, you know, our career, our health, and everything, our habits, everything. So there are four keys to learning any subject or skill faster. What I want everyone to do right now is to think about a subject or a skill. It could be making love, it could be Mandarin, it could be music, it could be martial arts, it could be marketing, anything that you want to learn faster. There are four keys to learning any subject or skill faster. And I want you to remember this, FAST, F-A-S-T. I'm going to go through this rapid fire. All right, so the F stands for forget. And you're like, Jim, you're a memory expert. Why are you telling me to forget something? One of the reasons people learn slowly is they feel like they know something already. Right. And you know this, right? Mm-hmm. This is coming back to a beginner's mind. In order to learn something faster, you have to empty your cup so you can learn something new, because it's cliche, but it's true. Your mind is like a parachute. It only works when it's opened. All right. So temporarily forget about what you know about a subject. And so, you know, if you're listening to a podcast and it happens to be on one of your, you know, the subjects that mm-hmm. you're talking about, then if someone knows about that subject, temporarily forget about what they know so they can learn something new. The second thing I would forget about are situational things. So the reason why I say this is, like, remember, we can't multitask. So if you're trying to listen to a podcast and do five other things at once, it only gives you about 20% of your resources to be present. People don't learn faster because their attention is split. So you don't want to do that. The third thing I would say to forget, and something you could do, is just if something comes in your mind, just write it down. You know, you think about the dry cleaning, you think about mm-hmm. the client stuff, just write it down, because you don't want to try not to think about it, because what you resist persists. If I tell you don't think of a big pink elephant or a polka dot giraffe, you're going to think about it more, right? So don't try to fight it and just write it down. So forget about situational things. And the third thing you want to forget about your limitations. And what I mean by that is, all behavior is belief driven. And a lot of us have this negative self-talk. We say, I'm getting too old. I have a horrible memory.
But I've never been able to in the past remember a name.
Exactly. Right. And then so, like, I'm horrible with names. But I always tell people, if you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them, right? If you argue for your limits, they're yours, right? And so you want to be very careful with your self-talk. You know, I remember I was preparing for a marathon, right? Mm-hmm. And so my last name really is Quick. I didn't change it.
I love it. K-W-I-K. People are like, that's not his name.
Yeah. So I didn't change it. It's my father's name, my grandfather's name. But my life was pretty much planned out. I had to be a runner back in school, which is a lot of pressure when it says Quick right on your shirt. I had to.
Because what if you were the slowest?
Exactly.
Dude. Yeah.
And then so I have to be careful when I'm driving, because the worst name to have in your driver's license when you get pulled over for speeding name Quick, because you're not going to talk your way out of the ticket. And I get to do my mission, which is teach people how to learn faster. But anyway, I was preparing for this marathon, and I was reading this book, and one of the chapters was the psychology, the mental training part of it. And I remember reading this verbatim. It said this, word for word: your brain is a supercomputer, and your self-talk is a program it will run. So if you tell yourself you're not good at remembering names, you will not remember the name of the next person you meet, because you program your supercomputer not to. And that's why I think it's really important to get rid of your ants, automatic negative thoughts. Kill those ants, automatic negative thoughts.
We all have them.
And we do,
so hard,
right?
To kill them.
And so part of it is just like what you said, either just go on like a little fast, right? You know, negativity fast, or whatever people call it, in terms of the complaining that we do. Adding even a three-letter word, very simple word like yet, also changes the meaning for things. Like, I don't have a great memory yet, right?
Right.
Or something simple like that, right?
So get rid of the ants.
And so you get rid of the ants.
Automatic negative thoughts.
Automatic negative thoughts. And so you want to forget about these limitations, because it's like what they talk about with elephants. Like, you see an elephant at a circus and you wonder why it doesn't just pull its way off, and, you know, that rope and that stake in the ground. The reason why is, since that elephant's been a baby, it's been tied to that same rope, to that same stake in the ground. And in the beginning, it would try to, you know, make its way free. It would pull and pull and pull and struggle. But after a few days, maybe a week or two, it learned that it's helpless. So even when it grew into this incredible, you know, animal that could pull down the whole circus tent, it still doesn't, because in its mind, it's still that weak. And so that's learned helplessness.
Right. And we learn that too. A lot of times it's negative things that we've heard from our parents. And that's what
right.
we carry in our
lifetime. Negative self body image,
yeah.
or even, you know, when it comes to any of these topics, whether it's sex or scholastics,
right.
it's all the same. We all have these negative beliefs about certain things, and all behavior is belief driven. And so we set the thermostat that we talked about, mm-hmm. you know, earlier, at a certain level, and it just reaches that. And so you want to forget about those things. The F stands for forget. Forget about what you know about a subject, forget about what's going on situationally, and forget about your limitations. The A in FAST stands for active. And this is huge, all right? If you want to be a better learner, if you want a better memory, if you want better focus, you need to be more active. And what I mean by that is if you are overloaded with too much to learn, too little time, it's because you and I and most of our listeners, we all grew up with a 20th century education. Mm-hmm. You know, 20th century education prepared us for a 20th century world, which at the turn of the century was working out in farms, working in factories. And it really was like an assembly line. It was like one size fits all, sit quietly by yourself, don't talk to your neighbor.
Right.
You know, and it was cookie cutter approach to learning. And now we live in a world that's so different right now, right? We live in an age of autonomous electric cars and spaceships that are going to Mars. But our vehicle of choice when it comes to learning and education is like a horse and buggy. And that's why we feel so slow.
Change it. I know. Right?
But one of the reasons why is 20th century education was so passive. It was like you're being lectured to and you're supposed to just consume information. But the human brain doesn't learn by consuming. It learns by creating. And so the human mind, it doesn't want to just consume and be lectured to. It wants to create, and because we are all creators. And so how can you be more active? So active would be, for example, taking notes. Active would be asking questions. Active would be sharing this information and teaching other people. Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. Learning is not a spectator sport. Learning is not a spectator sport any more than lovemaking is, right? And so it's not a spectator sport.
Well, it depends if you're into that kind of thing, but right?
So you have to roll up your sleeves and you have to get involved to get the benefit. So you want to be active. The S in fast, we already talked about, that state, right? And so if you want to learn faster, all learning is state dependent. I would never want to learn something in a dull, bored state because you're not going to retain any of it. So whatever you could do to up the emotion, either physically or mentally. And one of the best ways is just monitor your self-talk, right? Or change or put a smile on your face or get fascinated. There's a Rumi quote that says, sell your cleverness for bewilderment. Like when's the last time we felt bewildered about something, you know, playful about something? Mm-hmm. Like when even play, like who are the fastest learners? You know,
kids.
Children, right? Children can learn music. How fast can they learn a musical instrument? How fast can they learn a second or third language? And I think one of the reasons why, you know, is because they play all the time. But as we grow older, we stop playing. And I don't think it's because—
I think about that. I was like, what happened to recess? Like, there was a reason why we could— I always tell them, I'm like, go walk around the block. But when we had recess as kids, played and you come back in.
Right. So, like, and even as a kid, it's like you know, you want to go outside and play. And later it's like, oh, do you want to go out and hang out or whatever?
Right.
We change even the words. And so as we grow older, we stop playing. But I don't think it's that way. I think it's the opposite. I think it's we grow older because we stop playing.
Yeah,
you know what
I think
I mean? It's not like we stop playing because we grow older. Maybe we grow older because we stop playing.
I think so too.
And so add play, that's a state of mind. And when you're playful about something, you're more active. And finally, the T in fast stands for teach. And this is a huge one. If you want to learn something faster, learn with the intent of teaching somebody else. You know, we've all heard that phrase, those who can't do, teach. Mm-hmm. You know, and I never thought it was a negative, like those who can't do business, teach business, right? I actually thought it was like, oh, if I can't do something, let me teach it. And then by teaching it, I'll learn how to do it. And so let's say, like, you know, we're going to go through all these brain hacks right now, but let's say you're listening to this and you're thinking about somebody you wish was listening to this podcast right now with you. Like, think about right now as you're listening to this, one person you think could really benefit from this, right? And so what I would say is imagine yourself having to give a presentation in front of that person tomorrow. You know, would you pay attention differently? Would you concentrate differently? Would you ask better questions? You know, would you take notes differently? Of course you would. Because here's the thing, when you teach something, you get to learn it twice.
Right.
When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. So now, why not learn with the intent of teaching it? So that's fast. Forget what you know about a subject. A, be active. S, monitor your state. T, learn with the intention of teaching somebody else. So what I'm going to share with you right now, 7 keys for remembering names and faces. I'm going to teach you 7 keys for remembering names and faces.
This is so fun.
And
okay.
Then I'm going to teach you the 10 things you need to do to unlock what I call your quick brain. Because really, this is not just about mental intelligence. Yes, you'll learn facts and figures and formulas and your friend's name faster. But really what I want people to do is not just be more mentally intelligent. I want them to have mental fitness. People don't know this, but 1/3 of your memory is predetermined by genetics and biology. 1/3 of your memory.
Okay.
2/3 is completely in your control.
So we get to, right? It's not about my family.
Right. So it's genetics. And what I'm talking about, so independent of your age, your background, your career, your education, your financial situation, your gender, your IQ. But let's go to names and faces real fast. Here's a quick brain hack. So when you're out there, because I see you, you're on stage and afterwards you're mobbed with people, right? And they introduce themselves. How do you remember all those names, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to be suave. B-swab. So you're looking in the mirror, you're checking your makeup, people are checking, you know, their outfits and everything, and you say to yourself, I'm going to B-swab next time you're out and about, you know, and you want to remember names. The B is believe, because if you believe you can or believe you can't, either way, you're right.
Okay.
Right? So you...
I will believe that I can.
Right. And so you need to be able to believe it to be able to achieve it. And that's really the thing. It's not you'll believe it when you see it. It's you'll see it when you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because success is an inside out process. So that's the B is believe. Get rid of the negative self-talk. The E stands for exercise, right? And because the bad news, it takes effort. The good news, it doesn't take as much as you think. So I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's going to be worth it. Because remembering names is so important.
Yes.
So practice makes progress. Now, the suave, the S, first thing you do is you say the name. So you just literally repeat the name back to them. So common sense, but it's not common practice. But the reason why you say it is because you want to make sure you observed it correctly. So if a person's name is Ted, you don't want to say it at the end. You don't want to say goodbye, Ed, you know,
right,
30 minutes later. You want to get corrected up front. And because lots of times there's ambient noise, right, and you're at an event or whatever it is, you say the name. The U is you use the name. Now, notice you use it, you don't abuse it, right? Emily, it's so good to see you. Emily, you want to grab lunch? Emily, right, we want to talk about that. That would be an abuse, right?
Right, abusive, it's right, slightly creepy, right?
Right. You want to use it 3 or 4 times in the context of the conversation, right? The A is you ask about a person's name, right? And so this is really neat because, you know, you're mentioning, you know, people's names are pretty common, right? Mary, Ted,
yeah, or like
Bob,
most men, a lot of men's names, one syllable.
Yeah, and they're just
weirdly
very,
hard
right,
to remember.
And so asking about a person's name, you, so when you meet, the rare times you meet somebody and their name is unusual, different, maybe 10, 20% mm-hmm. of the time, Afzal, Riediger, you know, you meet somebody with a different kind of name, then you ask about, what can you ask about a person's name?
I'd be like, oh, that's interesting. Is your fam, for,
exactly,
where do you get the name from?
Exactly, yeah.
I haven't heard
what's
that before.
What's the origin or who
yeah.
are you named after? How
right?
do you spell it? What does it mean? Like you can, you know, you could ask all these questions. And that's what I would do if somebody's name you haven't heard before.
Okay.
So like, because what's everyone's favorite subject?
Themselves.
Right, exactly, right? And so the people are flattered. So I was doing a training
and
at-
sex.
Exactly. I was doing a training at the country's largest life insurance company. About 100 people in the audience. And the training director's name was Nankita. And I was like, wow, it's a beautiful name. How do you spell it? Where's it from? What does it mean? And she paused. I was like, what does it mean? And she said, it means graceful falling waters. And I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, her coworkers kind of made a little noise. And I was like, how long have you worked here? She was like, you know, 5, 6 years. I'm like, with everyone here? She's like, yeah, a lot of good friends in my wedding. I was like, raise your hand if you knew that's what Nankita's name meant. Out of 100 people, how many people raised their hand?
None.
Right. Right? And remember, a name is the sweetest sound to a person's ears. So you ask about a person's name, right? And then finally, the V and the E and suave. The V is visualize the name, right? Mm-hmm. And so I bet you're better with face. I bet most people are better with faces.
I am.
I
remember.
Names,
it's true. I'm
right?
a little bit
You go to somebody, you say, you know, I remember your face, but I forgot your name.
Mm-hmm.
You never go to someone and say the opposite. You never go
right.
to someone and say, hey, I remember your name, but I forgot
right.
your face.
Right.
right? That wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Because your visual cortex is larger than the other areas. And so we tend to remember what we see. There's a Chinese proverb that says, what I hear, I forget. What I see, I remember. What I do, I understand. What I hear, I forget. I heard the name, I forgot the name.
Right.
What I see, I remember. I saw the face, I remember the face. And going back to doing and practice exercise,
it, right.
I understand, right? And so if you tend to remember what you see, then try seeing what you want to remember. So this is really easy to do with those single, like those single syllable names that you mentioned. You know, you mentioned someone named Jim, you just imagine them literally just at the gym. And it sounds so silly in third grade, but again, children learn fast, right? They have
right.
imagination. So if a person's name, for example, is Mary, imagine you meet someone Mary at Mary, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden you imagine like two lambs underneath her arms. And just like, and he makes you laugh.
But even if, right, so I'd be like, oh, Mary, two, and then the next time I saw her, like in a month, I'd be like, that was
literally.
Mary.
So watch this. So there's a difference between long-term and short-term, right? You want to make sure you get the short-term because my goal with you right now is
Tell
to
me.
Overcome what I call the 6-second syndrome. 6-second syndrome is you learn something. Somebody gives you a passcode, right? They give you their phone number. They give you their name. You have 6 seconds to do something with that name. Otherwise, what happens? It's like
gone
in the ether, right? And so you need something to be able to capture it. So if a person's name is Mike, imagine them jumping on the tables and singing on a microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, well, that's very childish. Yes. And that's why children learn so quickly, right? How many people have had their name, you know, made fun of growing up as a kid?
Right, a lot of kids did, yeah.
Everybody does. Or they make, you know, like they make fun of your name. And now like David is in therapy because he was called David the Bavid. And
right,
David,
right.
He doesn't even know what a Bavid is, and he's in therapy for like 10 years.
Exactly. He doesn't know. It sticks with you, right.
And that's how kids remember things. They make fun of, they use their imagination. And so what I would say is it's memorable. And so when I'm at a party, right, you and I see each other at a lot of gatherings and stuff like that. I see Mary holding lambs, I see Bob bobbing for apples. I see Carol, Christmas caroling.
So do you, for these names, you do it. How about Matt? What do you do for Matt? Because every guy's name is Matt.
Right. And so this is the thing.
Is Matt always, like a doormat or something?
And so imagine meeting Matt and you're using their tie for a doormat, right? And so here's the thing. It's always one-to-one. Whenever you meet a Matt, you always use doormat. So if a person's name is John, you could picture what?
Bathroom.
Okay, great. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that works, right?
Okay.
Now, in your mind, so anytime you meet John, that's what you always associate. And then here's the magic, right? Once you know their name, it's only a means to an end. Once you have the end, which is knowing their name, the means disappears. The pictures disappears. It's just meant to get you to focus on the name and the person.
It's good.
You disappear. And then what I would recommend, people like, well, how do I hack that and make it even better? What I would do is I would go, because I know you have listeners all around the world, I would go on, you know, your government's census bureau, find the most used names, like, and you know, they list all the 100 top most popular baby names, everything for that year, whatever, and just come up with pictures for the top 100. If you did that, for example, in the U.S., and you just look at all the top, you come up with a picture, like 10 names a day for 10 days, right? And for male names, if you come up with a picture for those names, like James is Jam or whatever, then you have pictures for 60% of the male population in the U.S. I mean, that's just smart, right?
Right.
For female names, top 100 is like 40% because there's, you know, more creativity and such. But that's working smart. And then every time you meet somebody, you use those pictures. So that's
what
visualization.
You do automatically. That's very helpful.
And then finally, the E in suave stands for end. End, meaning you end the conversation using their name, right? Because if you could walk into a room and meet 20 strangers and leave saying goodbye to every single one of them by name, who do they all remember?
Right. You're the good guy. They don't even know who you
are. Right. Because
like,
that's a standout skill. Because before you sell anything, what do you sell?
Yourself.
Yeah.
No, I get it. That could just have saved me. That is helping me a lot. I see that. I go to conferences. I do things. I'm like, what's their name? And we've all been out with like our dates. Our friends were like, you whisper, like, introduce yourself because I can't remember their name. Like, how do you love doing that? Like, you got to tell your name, right?
Stick around after the break. I asked Jim how to remember specific to-dos, like when I told my boyfriend I'd pick up his birthday cake and then I totally forgot it.
Remember? How about facts that come in randomly? Like, I have this obsession, but I got to write everything down and then I forget where I wrote it. But like you're saying, like in relationships, we're saying if someone says, because one of my big things when it came out in a relationship, I'll give you an example. I was dating someone years ago and I said I would get the cake for his birthday. And I was on an email with 20 of his friends.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
And I emailed, I said, you guys, I got the cake, because he was my boyfriend. Yeah. And I was like, great. And then I remember the day before, we were going to the beach in San Francisco. We were going to Stinson Beach. If any of my friends are listening about this, you guys all know this incident. It was a very dark time. But we were going, and I'm like, oh, but I got to get like a bikini wax for it because we're going to the beach. I'm like, oh, but then I got to do this. And it's not because I'm a selfish girlfriend. I thought I'd get the cake after the bikini wax and then after Charlotte wanted to stop at Walgreens and then whatever. And then all of a sudden, we're on the road to go to the beach. I'm like, my mind's going, oh, shit, I didn't get the cake. Even though it was on my mind for 2 days, the cake, the cake, the cake. And then we're driving there and there's no turning back. I'm like, okay, at dinner, I will run out and get the cake. So anyway, he's like, my therapist thinks you have ADD. How did you forget the cake? So how do you not forget? And that's a really extreme example. If I tell you I'm going to get the cake, you probably need a backup. But I loved him. It wasn't that I was trying to pass. I'm like, I love John.
I mean, it's just we weren't taught how to do this, right? And because nowadays we don't have to because we have smart devices and everything. And when you're driving, a lot of times you can't write things down because you're driving or, you know, you're in the shower or I don't know why people would call you in the shower, but it's the same kind of thing. You go to the grocery store to buy one thing, you come back with two bags of groceries.
Not what you needed,
You forgot that one thing that you need to do, right? And so we all feel absent-minded. I'll give you a solution for this. I'll give you one tool, like one quick tip. All right, so I'm going to give you a memory tool right now on how to memorize speeches and facts, like really fast, okay? So this is attributed to Simonides. 2,500 years ago in ancient Greece, they didn't have teleprompters and smart devices and printing presses. They had to have a great memory. And so he was giving a poetry reading And when he was done, he left the building. Something really tragic happened. The building collapsed and killed everyone that was there. And he was a lone survivor. And as being the lone survivor, he had the responsibility of helping the family members identify their loved ones. But he was able to do so because he remembered where all of them were sitting. Wow. And aren't you like this also? Can't you remember, like, at dinner, like, who was sitting to your left, who was sitting to your right? Because human memory, we remember things in locations. We remember things in time and space.
Right.
Because back in, as a hunter-gatherer, you didn't need to memorize past codes and numbers. You need to remember where things were. You need to remember where's the clean water, where's the fertile soil, where's the enemy tribe, where's the right. crops and everything, right? Because that was your survival. So we store information in space. So watch this. I'm going to show you how to be able to memorize your to-do list. I'm also going to show you how to be able to memorize a speech without notes because it's the same exact technique.
I need this so badly.
All right, so this is called the loci memory, okay?
Loci?
Loci. Loci meaning location, meaning we store information in spaces that we're familiar with. So what this technique is basically saying is take your home, a place you're very familiar with, your home, your body, your office, and why not, since you're so familiar with it in your mind, store the information you want around those places. So take the first piece of information and store it in the first place, the second piece of information in the second place, the third piece of information in the third place. By the way, have you ever gotten an argument and go, in the first place this, in the second place mm-hmm. that, and that's where it came from. That languaging came from that 2,500-year-old memory technique where people used to store information in imaginary places inside their mind. Now, that technique has disappeared,
wow.
but that languaging,
that's
the linguistics
amazing.
Is still there. Let's do this actually interactively.
Okay.
Sorry. So everybody right now, we're going to go through an exercise. It'll take a couple of minutes. So we're going to go through it, a quick visualization exercise. So I train a lot of actors. A lot of the top TED Talks, I train them on how to give a speech without notes. Right? Now, you don't want to know a speech verbatim, right? Because you want it to sound authentic, you want it to sound natural, but you want to know the key points to your speech. Because you know this, right? If you're going through points to your speech and then somebody asks a question, you go to answer them and you come back, you're like, just like, you know, like, where was I?
Right?
But here, you know exactly where you are. So we're going to take 10 points to a speech and we'll put in 10 different places.
Okay.
Then I'll walk you through. Now, remember I said in the beginning, I said 1/3 of your memory is predetermined by genetics and mm-hmm. biology, but 2/3 is in your control. Let me tell you the 10 things that are in that 2/3. There are 10 things that activate what I call your quick brain. All right, so I'm going to go through them really fast.
Okay.
So if you want a strong memory without even using technique, do these 10 things. So number one is a good brain diet. So there's certain foods that are really good for your brain, certain mm-hmm. foods that make you spastic, you can't focus, it makes you, you know, have memory lapses, but there's certain foods that are really good for your brain. Avocados, blueberries, broccoli, coconut oil, eggs, green leafy vegetable, salmon or sardines, you know, turmeric, walnuts, dark chocolate, all good for your brain, right? So good brain diet, you are what you eat, right? Number two, killing ants. We talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing you want to be able to do is get rid of negative thoughts because it's not good for your brain. Because you're, you know, we talked about it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
When you say, remember I was saying you fight for your limitations, you get to keep them. When you're saying, oh, I'm too old, I don't get this, this runs my family, I'm just so forgetful, whatever it is.
I'll never do it. I always failed.
Right. All of that. Your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk.
Yep.
Your mind is always eavesdropping on your self-talk. So you want to keep it positive. So number two, killing ants. The third key to activating your quick brain is exercise. All right, because anything good for your heart is going to be good for your head,
right.
Blood flow and everything, oxygen to your brain. So people who move more physically will always, the research always shows this, they'll have better focus, mental acuity, they'll do better on memory.
Oh, it's true. When I don't work out before a show or any day, but if I don't work out every day, I truly feel that difference.
Yes.
I used to run marathons. Like, I need the intensity of it. I need to move every day.
And that's why exercise is key. The fourth key to unlocking your quick brain are brain nutrients. And that's supplementation. So if you're not getting it from your diet, because if you could do everything and a technique, it might not work because you're short on DHAs, you know, omega-3s, right? Or B vitamins. So supplement. On top of that, number five is a positive peer group, right? Because who you spend time with is who you become, right?
So true. The five people you spend time with.
Yeah, we are the average of the five people we spend time with.
Totally.
Going back to those mirror neurons, because it's even our habits. Like, they'll say it's not even like whether or not you smoke or not has less to do with your biological networks and more to do with your social networks. So it's not just your neurological networks, but it's your social networks. It's like, does your friend's friend smoke?
Mm-hmm.
That's more likely to influence
right.
you, right? Because who you spend time with is who you become. But you know this, and you know, whether it's dating or it's our social circles, it's just some people have they're encouraging, they're challenging, they're kind, you know, they're cheerleading for us. And other people are like energy vampires.
Right. I want to tell people to really, this one I think is very important. Because if you have a lot of friends or people around you and you're like, why is it so toxic? Or my work environment's toxic. I'm not saying necessarily to get rid of everybody, but it's important to look at, because you might be part of the problem too, if you're seeing a lot of things come up in your life. But or if you're just people and you might outgrow people, you might keep people around because they're family. But I think that that is something that's so important to really pay attention where you spend your time, who you look up to. That's just something.
Because there are those mirror neurons, again, going to, you know, brain, is we start imitating them and we start adopting their habits and their beliefs and then their values in terms of what's possible. So it helps to be able to come out of it. There, on a side tangent, there's a book called The Structure of Scientific Revolution that basically says all innovation comes from somebody outside the industry. So whether it's Elon Musk looking at automotive or fashion or technology or something, it takes, because if you grew up in an industry, you also have the same limitations and limiting beliefs that come with it. Take somebody from the outside and be like, why aren't we doing it this way? But a lot of it is who you spend time with is who you become. Mm-hmm. So a positive peer group. I think people are basically, you know, some people are batteries included, but there's some people, batteries not included, and they steal your batteries, and that's a challenge. Right. So that's number five is a positive peer group. Right. It's good for your brain. Number six is a clean environment. And that's huge, right? Your offices are amazing. I love it here. It's inspiring. The great light here because, you know, you clean, because your external world is a reflection of your internal world. And you know this, like when your desk is cluttered or your laptop is, you know, all like full and everything else, you have a cluttered mind also. But when you clear it out, you have clarity also. So the success is sometimes the outside in process also. That's number six. Number seven is sleep. This is huge. Right, because there's this sleepless epidemic, and the reason why sleep is so important.
Was this sleepless epidemic? Well, it's an epidemic now, but I don't feel like people were always complaining about sleep.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with our digital devices.
How about caffeine? The fact that we never used to drink as much caffeine.
Yeah, you're not supposed to have caffeine past 2 p.m.
But like we used to have one cup in the morning, like 30 years ago, right? And there's Starbucks, and now everyone don't.
I agree.
And it's digital everything, devices.
I think digital. I think the world we live in right now, the amount of electromagnetic fields that are out there, it's just there's so much stuff that are vying for attention. And so what I would say is sleep is so important because number one, it's where you clear out plaque out of your brain that leads to Alzheimer's and dementia. So that's important. Number two, it's where you consolidate short to long-term memory. So all those all-nighters aren't helping. It's better to get sleep. Third reason, as I talked about before, is remembering your dreams because you need to be able to get into that REM stage where you're actually dreaming, but you're not getting it if you're shortchanging your sleep. And so make sleep a priority. Like literally you have to sleep your way to the top because that's the goal. Because you can do everything else right, but if you're not getting a good night's sleep, how's your mind the next day? How's your focus? How's your memory? You can't solve problems. You can't do anything.
No, you can't.
Right?
It's terrible.
And so, you know, so for me, you know, you want to go to bed at the right time. You want to be able to, you know, the earlier, before midnight is always better because you get deeper rest that way. Blackout curtains, because it's not just your eyes. It's also you have photoreceptors on your skin too. So even any little bit ambient lights could throw you off also as well. They put like little like red lights behind like somebody's kneecap and it'll actually affect their sleep.
Wow,
I mean,
okay.
It's things really.
I'm working on that. Yeah. Blackout curtains in my house.
Blackout curtains are really good. Get rid of the digital devices. That's a big thing. Screens, right? Anything with a screen that's emitting blue light is really bad. Because it stops the secretion of melatonin, which helps you to relax and go to sleep. So when you're looking at your phones, your iPads.
How about not looking at your phones and iPads before, like an hour before sleep or 2 hours?
A couple hours beforehand. Because, or if you're going to use your computers or something, then use like, you know, a lot of your phone has that dimming devices or flux on your computer, something that gets rid of the blue, or wear the blue blocking.
What about those glasses? Those work?
They do. I do. So
when do you wear them? That you wear them
at night, nighttime, especially if I'm on a digital device, because you want to train your brain. And so anything else, and we've did four episodes on hacking sleep because it's such an important topic.
Yeah,
when it
and
comes
you've
to
hacked
your brain.
It, Jim. You've come through a lot.
Yeah, I've had
sleeping.
Some serious sleep issues, sleep apnea, and I've tried everything. So like this is make sleep a priority. And so that's number seven. Number eight, brain protection. So basically protect your brain. It's very fragile. You know, it's just like all the concussions people get, the accidents, they're not wearing their helmets, especially for your kids. So wear a helmet. Number nine is new learnings. And so if you want a quick brain, dedicate yourself to lifelong learning. It was interesting. It was on the cover of Time magazine. They did a study on super nuns. Super nuns. Like they were living. They were just long. It was a longevity study. These women were living 90 and above. And they wanted to find out what was the key to them living longer. And they said half of it had to do with their gratitude and their faith. But the other half had to do is they were lifelong learners. Like literally they were learning every single day. And because of it, it added years to their life. But not only just years to her life, added life to their years.
Yeah.
You know, cause that's what you really want, right? You don't, the goal is not to just grow older, it's to maintain your vitality, your cognitive abilities and so on. That's number nine. And finally, number 10, this is a big one. This is stress management.
Oh yeah.
All right. Because, and I put that out there because it's like it's the elephant in the room because we don't realize we're like fish in water. We don't see the water
right.
because it's there all the time. We don't realize how much stress we're under on a chronic
like we normalize stress. It, right?
Right. Until we're on like a beach somewhere, we're getting a massage. We don't realize how much tension we have, you know, in our mind and body because it's just there all the time. And so do you have coping mechanisms to get out of stress? You know, whether it's meditation or it's massage or it's red wine, whatever it is, sex, whatever gets you
sex
you
know, and red wine sounds
out of,
good.
Out of stress because that is it, that'll kill your cognitive abilities.
Anxiety is one of the biggest killers of our sex drive, but the more sex you have, the less stress you're going to feel, guys. So just think about that choice. So when you're thinking about not having sex right now because you're too anxious, when you have sex, you'll be less anxious.
Right.
When we come back, Jim walks me through a simple process to remember lots of words like your grocery list.
So imagine this, combining everything we talked about, the power of teaching other people, giving a speech without notes. Imagine now you had to give a TED Talk, right?
Which is on my bucket list.
Right. Imagine you had to give a TED Talk specifically, though, on the 10 things we just learned, right? Because most people right now, they're listening to this in the car, they're at the gym, they're like, oh, I wish I would have wrote that down. Now, the reason why I went through this is
don't
not—
don't quiz me.
So the whole thing here is people, it's in one ear, out the other. It's just like, you know, our significant others, we're dating, everything else. You're like, oh, did you take out the garbage? Like, you know,
people, how do you not remember my friend Jenny? I told you about her all the time.
People come
right.
to me all the time. And they posted on, like, we have this private Facebook group for our podcast. People post questions. And a lot of women will say, like, how can I trust a guy who can't remember to, you know, to take out the garbage? How can I trust him with something actually important or whatever right. it is? And so that's why memory is so important. But here's the thing. There is no such thing as a good or bad memory. There is no such thing as a good or bad memory. There's a trained memory and an untrained
right.
memory.
And I think most people are untrained. Right. I'm not even trained. You're learning, teaching me a lot.
And here's the thing.
Right
a memory
now.
Is not even something you have. A memory is not something you have, it's something you do. It's like this, you don't have focus, you do focus. You don't have creativity, you do creativity. You don't have a memory, you do memory. Just like when it comes to love, like you don't have love, you do love because it's an actual process, mm-hmm. right?
It is a process.
And so
lust is not what we're talking about. That's right. not a process. Love is a process.
So when you take it and turn it into a process, it becomes something that's living and it becomes a recipe. So you could duplicate that. So it's like when people get like stuck and they're like, oh, I have writer's block or I'm just not feeling creative or motivated. You don't have motivation. You do motivation. And so that's why I love when it comes to learning, it's a verb and it's not a noun, mm-hmm. right? And so the goal here is to turn things into process. And step-by-step strategies. So let's come up with a process for memorizing a speech. Let's say you need to remember these 10 keys that we mm-hmm. just talked about. Most people don't remember it because they are working out or they are listening to this. And a lot of people like listen to you probably yeah. when they're taking a bath, a lot, right?
Yeah, or when they're at work, which right. always amazes me. I'm like, is that yeah. a really good day or is it a distracted day?
Exactly. And they can't write it down. So how would right. they retain this information? Yeah. So this is, we'll teach you what you asked for, how to remember facts and also how to give a speech without using notes, right? And so this is the location method that we talked about, you know, this Greek orator 2,500 years ago would store information in different places. So this is what you do. I'll walk you through, because everybody would normally use their home, but since we're doing this all together, let's use my office.
Okay.
Okay? So we have an office, I'm here in LA, but we also have an office in Westchester, New York, which is a suburb of New York City, right? Mm-hmm. North of the city. So I want to imagine everybody do this, if it's safe for you to do, just close your eyes mm-hmm. if you can. If not, then keep your eyes open, obviously, if you're driving or something
like
that.
Don't close your eyes if you're driving, yeah.
If you're on a treadmill, do not close your eyes. But just imagine that you're on a plane and you're going to Westchester Airport. You land, and even if you can't imagine this, imagine you can imagine this, okay? You land in the airport, car picks you up, you're in the back seat, you go to my office, and it's a big glass building surrounded by trees, all right? And when you get out, I'm going to name 10 places in my office, and I'm going to put the 10 keys for unlocking your quick brain, one in each place. So you get out in the first place, the parking lot. So, and just repeat after me as you're listening to this. What's the first place? It's the parking lot. Good. And that's your verbal memory. And when you get out in the parking lot, I want you to imagine the first brain tip, which is a good brain diet. So I want you to imagine all the brain foods waiting for you in a buffet there, and you get into a big, like, brain food fight, and you're throwing avocados and salmon and, you know, like, coconut
oil. I just pictured a bunch of broccoli and avocados. Like, when I pull up, it's a green parking lot.
Perfect. Whatever you picture, and everyone can do this.
Yeah, you guys can do your own. I don't want to feed you.
No, it's great. So you have lots of different creative answers here. So just, you have the good brain diet waiting for you. You walk over to the second place. It's a bridge. It goes over, like, we have like this waterfall, creates this moat around the building. But the second place is a bridge. So the second place is what?
Bridge.
It's the bridge. And I want you to imagine, as you're crossing the bridge, the second brain tip, killing ants. So just imagine, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm stepping on those negative, automatic negative thoughts,
right? And you're stepping on the ants. You would never do that.
No.
It's going to help your brain.
Mm-hmm.
You get into the building, and you get into the third place, which is the elevator. So everybody, not just Emily, what's the third place?
Elevator,
right? And you get into the elevator, and the third place, exercise. So I just imagine you, your trainer is in the elevator with you. You're doing your hot yoga. You're doing your CrossFit, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're lifting weights, calisthenics.
I'm jumping on it to make sure it's okay.
Great.
Yeah.
And whatever you're doing, just imagine that exercise. You remember exercise number three.
Uh-huh,
You get out of the elevator. Fourth place is the hallway. What's the fourth place?
Hallway.
And you want to remember brain vitamins. So I want you to imagine just all these bottles of brain vitamins coming at you, and you're like Lara Croft or Indiana Jones, just jumping over the brain vitamins. So ginkgo biloba, vitamin B, you know, you have your mm-hmm. your DHAs, your omega-3s. You're jumping over brain vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you open a door to my office. Immediately to the left is the fifth place, which is the closet. What's the fifth place?
Closet.
Closet. And inside the closet are your positive peer group, your happy friends. I want you to imagine all your happy friends are in the closet, all right? And then you're like, see all your friends.
All
your happy friends, they're celebrating in the closet. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you leave the closet. You go to the sixth place is the receptionist. What's the sixth place?
Receptionist.
And the receptionist is clean the environment, mopping, like vacuuming, mm-hmm. bleaching everything, clean environment. Everything has its place.
Clean. Yep.
Behind the receptionist is the seventh place is the fish tank.
What's
the
seventh tank. Place?
Fish tank. Very good. And the fish, they're sleeping. That's to remind you, get sleep. So I want you to see Nemo, Dory.
They look dead, but they're just sleeping.
They're sleeping. The fishes are sleeping.
No dead fish in your office. Just
sleepy
fish.
Nemo's in their pajamas and bunk beds snoring. Just build it out, right?
Okay.
And notice, like, you don't have to repeat it. Like, traditional learning in school was like repetition.
Right.
It's like over and over. You have to repeat something 50 times. You just see this once, you'll remember it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then from the, because you're using the power of your imagination. The eighth place is the door. So what's eighth place? The door to the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And the door is locked. So you put on a helmet. That reminds you to wear a helmet, brain protection, protect your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you headbutt the door open and it splinters and shatters open. You would never do that, but it reminds you of brain protection. The ninth place is the whiteboard. What's the ninth place?
The whiteboard.
Great. And I'm there and I'm writing the ninth tip, which is new learning. So I'm literally writing the words new learnings on the whiteboard
mm-hmm.
in your favorite color marker. What's your favorite color? Say it out loud.
Green.
Great. And then whatever your favorite color listening,
you
that's the color.
You guys can choose your own.
Right? New learnings, right?
New learnings.
And then finally, the last thing is on the side of the classroom, I have all these bonsai trees, you know, these Japanese plants. And so bonsai tree is number 10. I want you to remember
bonsai tree.
Stress management.
Oh,
so imagine you're meditating. Imagine you're getting your best massage on the bonsai trees. The best massage of your life on the bonsai trees, right? Whatever Wait. Gets you out of stress.
Okay.
Lovemaking on the bonsai trees though, all right? You see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, everybody, you are on stage. You're on the stage of your life. And you need to remember, oh, what were the 10 keys for unlocking my quick brain? Just walk around my office. Now, so that's how you memorize a speech. You want to capture the keywords because you know your stuff. You just need the keyword to prompt you of what you need to remember. So you take it, turn it into a picture because we think in pictures. Remember, you turn names into pictures. It's the ultimate tip.
I love that.
T-I-P, turn into picture because we remember what we see, and then you put it in the place, and then you remember it. Because then your home becomes a filing system for the things you want to remember. So you use your home. You go from, you know, the kitchen to the dining room to, you know, you go room to room. I mean, unless you're in a, like in New York in your studio apartment, like you just go room
or your body. You said
you can- so everybody could do this. You could use your body. You could use your office. You could use your home and really create a list for anything. You know, our life, it's not about like the haves and haves not. It's really now more, you know, those who know and those who don't know. That's why I find this podcast so valuable. That's why I find reading so valuable. You know, people committing themselves to constant education, lifelong learning. And we talked about how it adds years to your life and life to their years. But it's so important to integrate every single day.
It's true. And I'm never, I feel like I, you know, you're never done learning. There's a lot of limiting beliefs I have around, I think, my ability to focus and to learn and to read and there's no time. And, but I also know that I can do anything, right?
And just so it's notice like what you just did. Like, remember, like if I told you before we started this conversation that you would be able to memorize a grocery list forwards and backwards after hearing it once, or memorize like a TED talk, like 10, you know, talking points.
I still don't get
like
how I'm going to do this with my TED talk because that seems like that's so many more. I'll have to practice it enough.
Yeah, literally going through and coming up with 10 or 15 talking points and turning each one into a picture.
But this also takes time. I would have had to stop.
But you know what takes time? You know what takes time is like rehearsing things over and over again. Right. Repeating things 50 times to yourself or forgetting where you put things or forgetting a name. Like, so, you know, the bad news is it takes a little bit of effort, but the good news is not as much as people think, you know? And so there's no magic pill, like no magic memory pill, but there is a magic process.
Right.
And that's what we're doing is we're taking, just like with what you do with love and communication and sex and relationships, you turn it into a process, right? So it's not like, oh, I hope I have romance or I hope I have an orgasm.
You gotta make
or I hope I have
the best version of yourself.
Right. And you turn it into a process. So people don't have to feel bad if they're not in, if they're not getting a result in their body or in their relationship because it becomes a recipe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're here to do. And when you're talking about even the negative self-talk, you know, I believe our life is like an egg. That if an egg is broken by an outside force, life ends.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's broken by an inside force, life begins. And all great things begin on the inside. And I believe everyone who's listening to this, you have greatness inside of you. You have genius inside of you. And now is the time to let it out.
Thank you, Jim Quick. Thank you for teaching. Thank you for all of this. This is amazing. Very inspired by you and by everything you have to say. So everyone should check out Jim Quick, KWIK.
Podcast.
Check out your podcast. Take some of your courses, all your things.
No, I mean, honestly, if everyone just like the best way of people doing this is what I would love right now is everyone goes on social media, take a screenshot of this episode, post it on social media, tag Emily, tag myself, and tag your big, actually share with us your big aha.
Yeah,
that would be actually
what'd you get?
Huge.
I feel like, because my whole, I have like six people sitting in the room right now, and I feel like everyone's really moved by this. So
I'm saying like, that's why I take a screenshot of this episode, share it on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, tag us both and post your big takeaway. Remember I talked about one of the keys to learning faster is teaching. When you teach something, you get to learn it twice. Share it on social media, share your big aha, and then, or your big question, because that's,
yeah,
I would love
we'll
to
answer
know
it. That's good. You're so
very
good.
Because I think questions are the answer. So I'd be curious, like, what was your big quickening?
Right.
Like, what activated your orgasmic brain of you? And, you know, would really like, because that really, like, if you're going to stimulate any part of someone's body, like, I would start with the brain. But so
brain is the largest sex organ, and the brain has to be healthy. It is the way we
but
think.
But it doesn't come with an owner's manual.
No, nothing comes with an owner's manual.
And it's not user friendly. So
no.
I hope that this kind of gave some people some perspective.
It does give perspective, because I think a lot of us have so many limiting beliefs about what's possible for us. And I think that the way you teach and the way you talk and the way you continue to learn yourself just really inspires people to realize the life and the brain they're living in and the way they've experienced and stuff is not how they have to.
Exactly. If people got a little bit of growth here, just focus on that, because how you do anything is how you do everything, and success breeds success. And really, when it comes down to it, if you really want to be fulfilled, it just comes down, for me, it comes down to two things. What I love about the show is you help people really understand themselves, understand their body, understand their mind, understand the relationship, because you need to have the courage to know yourself. And most people don't have the courage to do that. So if you're listening to this still, you know, we applaud you, because you're going deep, right? And so have the courage to know yourself. But then also, once you know yourself, you know, you need the courage also to be yourself.
It's true.
Right? So you have the curiosity to know yourself and the courage to be that person. And then remember, the life you live are the lessons that you teach. So yeah, I would love to continue this more, another conversation. And then just search my name on your phone's podcast app and just enjoy
Jim
those.
Jim Quick. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll all do it. I love your podcast. They're perfect for me because they're short and you get so much. They're so good, Jim. Thank you, Jim, for being here. This is really helpful. I can't wait to hear what everyone thinks of this episode.
That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.